Hey, good morning and welcome to West. We are so glad that you are taking a few moments from your Sunday morning to join in. If you are newer to the West Worshiping community, we extend a very special and warm welcome to you. We invite you to text the number that you see on your screen right now and let us know that you're a part of our worshiping community, our faith community. We'd also love to know that you are in the chat room. During the songs that you see during worship, Dawn and Lindsay, who are manning our chat room today, let me know that you're here. So it's really important to us, your staff team, your volunteer team, to know that you are here, even virtually. So we really invite you to type your name in the chat room so that we feel the sense of community, even though it is across the digital airwaves. This morning, we are going to talk about going into battles in our lives. We all face different challenging opportunities and battles, if you want to phrase it that way. And we're going to look at this really cool story about a man named Gideon and how he went into battle. And as he went in, he had to bend, but he never broke. And that's the title of this message series that we're looking at right now, Bending and Not Breaking. As a church, we are 10 years old. Last Sunday, we celebrated our birthday, and it was the craziest way ever because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, we had planned this huge celebration and all this kind of stuff, and none of that, you know, came to fruition because here we are, and we're still social distancing and trying to be safe. And so, you know, we as a church continue to have to bend, but recognize that as we bend, we don't break. And that is the opportunity that we each have in our own lives because we have this power that is far greater than anything we have of our own making. We have the power of God. So we're going to look at what that looks like in a person's life and how we can apply it to our lives and how we can use this to face the challenges that we face in our day-to-day existence. So first of all, thanks for doing what I asked. Thanks for typing your name in the chat room. I mean, really, we miss you. And I know you miss being together in a space at the same time, but they read me your names, and it was just nice to recall your faces and you know, preach actually with you and speak with you instead of just to the blinking light on the camera. This morning, I want to tell you a story, and it's a two-parter. I'm going to tell you the story at the beginning, and then we're going to come back to it at the end, and I want us to look at these situations that we face in our lives when we are called to go places or to do things that we may not think are the best things or that make the most sense, but how God is at work in and through all things, and what can happen when we go where we're called to go or go where we're nudged to go. The powerful thing that comes when we follow that call and that nudge from God. So Lane Smith is my daughter, and she ran cross country. She started running cross country in middle school and was actually a really great runner. She gets it from her mom, haha. But I don't run unless you're trying to bring physical harm to me. But she was a great runner, and she was very successful in cross country in middle school and high school, and then even like when she was on JV as a runner, they would put her on varsity. She did really, really well. Well, then in her senior year of high school, she was in a pretty horrific car accident on 150. It was like 6:30 at night, and a guy fell asleep at the wheel, and he crossed over right in front of the steam station, hit her head on. The only thing that happened to Lane was she suffered a severe concussion, and it like messed up her hips, but she walked away from the car accident, and we were so grateful. But it really messed up her running career and her soccer career, and so she no longer would qualify for the varsity running, and so she would have to always run JV. But that didn't deter Lane. She was like, okay. And I don't know if you've had the privilege of meeting Lane, but she is like, 99% of the time, this huge bundle of energy. Like, she won most school spirited, senior superlative, and all that kind of stuff. And on the cross country team, she was the loudest one, you know, yelling and all that kind of stuff. She also won most spirited for cross country. And her coach noticed that and probably got on his nerves. But he would often comment to Lane about her high energy. And she would allow that energy to not deter her when she wasn't as successful. But it was the last meet of the season, and it was a big one. They were set to go to the county or regionals or something like that, and one of their varsity runners was not going to be able to run that day. Well, Lane's time was not such that she was going to be, you know, the next in line to go run varsity. So she was shocked when the coach came up to her and said, you know, hey, I want you to run varsity today. And she was puzzled, and she's like, there's no way. I mean, this is going to be embarrassing. And the coach didn't care. The coach said, I want you to go run varsity. So Lane did as she was told, and she ran varsity. And not only did she run, she got lapped by all of the other varsity runners. And she tells this story and still laughs about it to this day. And as her mother there watching her, I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was so embarrassed because I thought she was going to be just overwhelmed with, you know, anxiety and being embarrassed because, I mean, she was literally being lapped on the course. And but she wasn't deterred by it. She just kept running. How many times in life are we called or asked to do something, or we feel like we're supposed to be doing something, but the path in front of us just does not show us that our path or our race or our battle or whatever it is that we're trying to do is going to be easy? And so then we get deterred and we start feeling intimidated by what is in front of us, and then we go into hiding. Not necessarily, you know, like on a cross-country race or some physical race, but, you know, in our relationships, in our jobs, in the way we manage our personal lives, even in our spiritual journeys. Lots of times the things and the ways and the paths that we are on or that we're supposed to take, they end up being intimidating to us. And we feel like we are overwhelmed or underqualified or, frankly, just unable to do it. And so instead of going full steam ahead, we retreat. We go inward. We build up walls between us and others. And we just feel inadequate. I think that's how a lot of us feel right now in this time and season in our world. I mean, we're facing unprecedented challenges, and whether it's trying to educate our children at home or trying to teach children in a digital space or trying to manage jobs and manage families and trying to manage a retirement savings that keep going up and down, you know, we all have so many challenges in front of us. And if we aren't careful, those challenges become very overwhelming. And we get to the place where we feel like we are at that breaking point. So that's why we're talking about this today. Not only us as a church, but us as individuals, we have to find ways to bend and not break. We have to find ways to courageously go where we're nudged to go, or where we feel like we're supposed to be going, and not be afraid. So I want us to look at this biblical story this morning. It is a powerful story, and it is about this man named Gideon. And you can find this story in the book of Judges, and it goes through several chapters. We're going to look at just a few select passages of scripture from those two chapters. But join with me right now, and let's look at Judges 6, 11, and 12. One day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress out of the sight of the Midianites. Now that's really important. Gideon is threshing wheat out of the sight of the Midianites, that they were the enemy of the time. The angel of God appeared to him and said, "God is with you, O mighty warrior." Now let's bring a little clarity to the passage here for just a minute. So angel of God, angel means messenger. It does not mean this little white, you know, translucent being like floated out of the heavens and appeared in front of him. A messenger, an angel was a messenger from God. So this messenger shows up with Gideon and he's like, you know, "Hey, look, O mighty warrior, God is calling you." Now, it's interesting to note that Gideon is threshing wheat in a wine press, in a wine cellar. Now, when you thresh wheat, I know we've all been doing that during our day jobs this past week. When you thresh wheat, you don't go down into a wine cellar or a wine press. You actually would be doing that out in the open area so that when you get off the good parts of the stalk, the part that's going to be used in cooking and for nourishment, the stalks would blow away. But Gideon, he's a farmer and he's a scaredy cat. He's a chicken because this group of people, the Midianites, they were like proselytizing the land of the Israelites. And the Israelites, they would go and they would farm and they would be productive. And then the Midianites, they would come and they would just take over and steal all the crops of the Israelite people. The Midianites, they were powerful in force and in number. They overpowered the Israelites, and they were like the strongest group of people that were inhabiting this area of land at this time. And the Israelites were oppressed by the Midianites. And Gideon knew that. So he's, you know, trying to do his day job. He's trying to farm. He's trying to take care of the wheat and all that kind of stuff. And he's doing it in hiding because he's scared. And so then this messenger from God shows up and he's like, "Oh, hey, Gideon, God's calling you, oh mighty warrior." Gideon had to be like, "You have got the wrong guy, because I am not a mighty warrior. I mean, did you not notice where you are? I am in hiding because I am afraid of the Midianite people." Gideon was anything but a mighty warrior. And that's what I want us to think about as we apply this passage to our lives. If we aren't careful because of the circumstances that we are in right now or the things that we faced in our past, we don't feel very equipped and we don't feel very empowered and we don't feel ready to conquer the task and the path before us. We don't feel like mighty warriors. I think a lot of times we feel just like Gideon and like the enemy, or what is in front of us and what is facing us is far bigger and more powerful than we are. We're intimidated by that. We're intimidated by our fear. We are intimidated by the unknown. And so we go into hiding. But the same words that God used with Gideon that day through a messenger, God gives to us. God calls us mighty warriors. So let's keep looking at the story. Gideon replied, "With me, my master?" Okay, so if God's with us, then why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, "Didn't God deliver us from Egypt?" The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. God has turned us over to Midian. But God faced Gideon directly. "Go in the strength that is yours and save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you?" And Gideon said to him, "Me, my master, how and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the litter." And God said to him, "I'll be with you. Believe me, you'll defeat Midian as one man. So Gideon's there, this messenger comes, he calls him, "Oh, mighty warrior," and then Gideon does exactly what you and I do. When we are faced with something that seems bigger than us or seems unknown or seems intimidating, we argue and we say, "Who? Me?" Or, "Why me?" I mean, he's asking all those questions, those same questions that you and I ask. You know, he's like, first of all, there's no way. Have you noticed who, me? You're calling me? You think I can go do this? You think I'm a mighty warrior? And then, you know, why me? You know, God, look, you have bailed on us over and over again. This same God that I've heard about from my parents and my grandparents, we don't see that now. In fact, I'm doing my job in hiding because I am so afraid, because God, you don't seem to be providing a way for us out of this mess. Do you feel like that right now? I mean, how many of us thought that by, you know, the end of September, middle to end of September, that COVID would be under control and we'd be back to life as normal? Life as normal won't ever be again. It will be, whether we want to admit it or not, a new normal. So we can adjust how we go into that and how we face that, just like Gideon did. We can ask all the questions, and one of the really powerful things about this story, and we're not going to look at these verses, but just for time's sake, but as Gideon wrestles with God and they have this back and forth, you know, God says, look, you're the man, you're the one. I want you to go get the Israelites, I want you to form an army, and then I want you to go into battle, and I want you to fight the Midianites. You've got this. And so Gideon, in his full humanity, just like you and me, he doubts, and he's like, okay, well, maybe, but if you want me to do this, then prove it to me, God. And so for a couple of times, like, Gideon would bargain with God, and he's like, okay, I'm going to leave this piece of wool on the floor, and if it's damp, then I'm going to know that you're here, and if it's not damp, then I'm going to know that you're here. I mean, this back and forth goes on several times, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about this story, is that God let Gideon have his doubts. And even though he had his doubts, God didn't turn God's back on Gideon. God always showed up. The same is true for us. God always shows up. So let's talk about what God is. It's not, you know, some billowing man that's going to descend from the heavens with a long white beard and long hair. God is this power, this sense of love, this sense of peace, this sense of courage that we can have in each of us if we will trust that it's there. You know, God used an angel, a messenger of God to give these messages to Gideon. Where do you have messages in your life right now that you just aren't listening to because you're too intimidated or too afraid or too uncertain of the unknown? But God's right there. God is nudging you, nudging us. We're just too afraid to listen. But God doesn't give up. God is a relentless God with a relentless love. And so God keeps showing up with us. And just like he did with Gideon, and every test that Gideon would put God to and say, okay, well, if you do this, then this will happen. God did it. And so this goes on back and forth a couple of times. And then Gideon does what God tells him to do. He goes and he calls the Israelites. And he gets this army. Now, it's important to note that the army, the Israelite army, was outnumbered by the Midianite army 4-1. But Gideon was going to do what God wanted him to do, so he calls all the people together, and he has, you know, like, I think about 32,000 people, and God's like, okay, great, I'm so glad you're finally listening to me, but there's a problem. You have too many in your army. It's just too many people. And Gideon had to be like, what the heck? I mean, I finally get enough courage to go, and I go and I call these people, and they come, and now you're telling me I've got too many? And God's like, you know what? I don't want the Israelite people to think that the victory that you're getting ready to have over the Midianites, I don't want you to think that victory's yours. I want you to finally get that maybe this victory and this power, it's me. It's me working in you. And that will be the reason that you're victorious. And if you have 32,000 men, it's going to be real easy for you all to think, oh yeah, look at us. We're hot stuff. We're tough. We're going to conquer them. So nope. I want you to tell your men, hey, if any of you don't feel like you're all in, you are free to leave. And Gideon's like, all right, whatever. So this is one of those examples that, you know, we were called to go do something and then it doesn't look exactly like what we think it ought to be. So we have to bend. So Gideon bends and he's like, all right, I'm going to do what you say, God. So he tells the army, hey, if you're not all in, go away. So like 20,000 of them leave and he's left with about 10,000. So he's like, all right, well, the odds are certainly continuing not to be in my favor. But okay, God, here we are, our little 10,000. We're ready to go into battle. And God's like, you know, you still got too many people. Gideon's like, what the heck? And God's like, you still have too many. So there's another test I want you to give to the men. And after I give you this test, then you will be ready for battle. I want you to take them down to the lake and I want you to tell them to get a drink of water. Now, some of the men, when they go down to the lake, they're going to kneel down and they're going to bend over and they're going to drink right from the water. But then the other group of people, they're going to go down and they're going to take their hands and they're going to cup up the water and they're going to lap up the water like a dog from their hands. Now, the men that do that, you need to send them home. But the men that go down and they bend over and they drink from the water without drinking from their hands, that's who you need to take into battle. So Gideon does what he's told. And it ends up that from 10,000, he gets down to 300 men. And that's what he was called to take into battle. Now, can you imagine? I mean, he was already afraid at the very beginning. He was hiding, you know, in his wine cellar. And then he ends up with, you know, tens of thousands of men in an army. And in this back and forth with God, he ends up going from, you know, multiple thousands to 300. Those are really bad odds. But somehow, through all this back and forth and through this process, something changed in Gideon. His fear and his uncertainty turned into trust and faith. So my question for us today is, how can we use our fear and our intimidation and our pain and our uncertainty, how can we use that and it become not something that holds us back, but can it be transformed? I believe it can. And can it be transformed into trust? And can it be transformed into faith? Gideon gets ready to go into battle with the 300. And the night before he was to go into battle, this happens. Take a look at these words. Gideon arrived just in time to hear a man of the Midianite army, tell his friend a dream. This man said, I had this dream. A loaf of barley bread tumbled into the Midianite camp. It came to the tent, and it hit so hard that it collapsed, and the tent fell. And his friend said, this has to be the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has turned Midian, the whole camp, over to him. When Gideon heard the telling of this dream and its interpretation, he went to his knees before God in prayer. And then he went back to the Israelite camp and said, "Get up and get going. God has just given us the Midianite army." So Gideon becomes transformed and is ready to go into battle because he overhears a dream about a loaf of bread. Now that's sort of crazy, but it gave him what he needed. He hears these guys talking about this dream, and he hears the interpretation of it, and that's the sign that he needed to have the courage to follow God. There are signs in our lives all the time. And, you know, we don't understand so many things about faith and God and all that kind of stuff, but there is a mystical power at work in our universe, in our world. We believe it is the divine power, the divine energy. We believe it is God. We believe it is God revealed to us through the person of Jesus Christ, and hopefully we try really hard to make our lives look like Jesus and be like Jesus so that we can get that love and that power is in us. But there is an enemy. We don't talk about it a lot in the United Methodist Church in the way that you might find it in other faith traditions. Grew up Southern Baptist, so I heard a lot about the devil. And you know, we think that Satan or Satan is this little man with, you know, a lot of red going on with some horns and a pitchfork, and he's out. But In our understanding of the theology of evil, we do recognize that there are dual forces at work in our world. There is good, and there is love, and there is light. And then there is bad, and there is anger and hate, and there is darkness. And that's evil. And it's important to recognize that because, you see, these paths that we're on, you know, we all have a path that we're called to be on, a path of perfect love in unity with God, being atoned with God, at one with God, at one with love. And we're all called and empowered to do some really great things with our lives. And we don't have to go win the Nobel Peace Prize to do great things with our lives. We can just love each other. Wouldn't the world be a much better place if we would all act out of loving each other with a gracious and a forgiving love? But there is this, we have to recognize that there is this negative force that is at work in our world. If you read our e-news, the Friday email that we put out a few weeks ago, around 9/11 actually, I wrote about Satan, the word Satan or Satan, and that it means the accuser. It doesn't mean a little red man with a pitchfork and some horns running around, but it means the voice of the accuser. That is evil. And we all have that voice that exists in our beings, just like that voice of love. But that voice of the accuser, that's the voice telling us we're not enough. That the circumstances that we face, whatever they are, whether they're personal, a personal health circumstance or a relationship circumstance or a job circumstance or just anxiety that we're carrying, that voice in our head, that's the voice, the accuser that tells us we don't have what it takes to be able to courageously fight that battle or courageously walk the path that is in front of us, that path that leads us to being all of who we are created to be in that divine, amazing image of love. That voice gets in the way of us having a life full of love and joy and peace. That voice got in the way of Gideon over and over and over again. And he kept arguing with God. And God kept showing up and saying, "I'm giving you what it's going to take." And the key words that God used with Gideon were, "The power is within you. You have my power. And that's all you are going to need." The same promise that God gave Gideon is the same promise that God gives us. And God is not intimidated by any enemy. And if God is not intimidated by any enemy, then you and I don't need to be intimidated by any enemy or any obstacle that we face. We have to trust that God's power is in us. If you go and you read in 1 John, we read that the power that is in us is greater than the power that is of the world. And that's that understanding that God's power, that divine love and divine power and energy that is in us is far greater than any voices of the accuser. Any evil that exists in our world, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean that we have within us what it's going to take. We just have to own it. We have to claim it. And sometimes we may have to actually take steps on our path, even though we don't know where we're going. I'll confess to you that over the last 6 months, I mean, there have been times that I'm like, okay, we've got this, staff, we've got this, we can do this, church. We were actually poised to go into a pandemic because we have this amazing worship production team and they're here and they've always been so diligent about us being on the cutting edge of technology. So guess what? We went into the pandemic. We're like, okay, we can do this. We missed you. But I mean, we were equipped. But guess what? We weren't equipped for it to go 6 months. And do you want to know what's happened over the past 6 months other than like we've all gained weight? I think we've owned that together. But what's happened over the past 6 months is we've gotten tired and overwhelmed. And frankly, I mean, there have been many times that staff and I have shared with each other, we are not sure where we're supposed to go. Now, I like to pretend I've got all my stuff together. I use another word in my everyday language, but I like to pretend that I've got it going on and I've got all my stuff together. But really, over the last month, I mean, there came this time and space where I had to admit to our leadership and to our staff, I don't quite have this all figured out anymore. You know, they're saying don't get back together in person for months to come until there's a vaccine, blah, blah, blah. And I'm still not sure how we continue to maintain a church when we can't be together. So finally, I just gave up and said, I got nothing. Aren't you proud I'm your leader? But I told that to the staff. I told it to some of our leadership. And I said, I need you to pray. I mean, if we claim this power that is out there for us, I need you to pray. I need you to pray for direction and wisdom. I need you to pray that the staff don't become overwhelmed and get weary from having to recreate their jobs all the time. I need you to pray that we have what it takes to keep being this church that we believe God has called us to be. When you ask people to pray, powerful things start to happen. Over the last 3 weeks, interestingly enough, like out of the blue, I keep getting the same message from different people about where they see God nudging Wes to go in the future. And every time somebody of Wes tells me they feel like God is saying something to them, I really do listen and pay attention. So for the past 3 to 4 weeks, that's what I've been doing. And it's really interesting to see how God is at work through the voices of others. Those messengers, those angels, they show up. And I'm telling you all that not to reveal some big grand plan because it isn't all figured out yet. But I'm saying I have been where you are. I too feel overwhelmed. I feel like I don't quite have what it takes to get us down this path in front of us. But when, like Gideon, I finally gave up all the I and realized that it's not about me, it's about God, and I knelt in prayer and had other people kneel in prayer, that's when God showed up and I was able to hear God. God had been there all along, I just wasn't listening. It's really ironic, and I'm using this as an example because I want you to see that these are not just fictitious words in a book that happened a couple of thousand years ago. There are a lot of metaphorical images in scripture that we talk about and talk about. Some things can be taken literally and some can't. But this story, I mean, historically, the Israelites did conquer the Midianites. Gideon went into battle. And do you know what they went into battle with? A trumpet and a torch. They didn't have all this armor and all these things that they thought they needed. Gideon said, here's what you're going to go into battle with, basically a candle and a trumpet. And when I call for you, you use them. You raise your torch and you blow your trumpet. And that is what happened. And somehow the Midianite army ended up turning on itself. And the Israelites won. They won the battle. But to win the battle, they had to bend and bend and bend. But they never broke. This morning, Faye Carrasca, she used to be our pastoral care catalyst, and she retired for like her third retirement in her life to be a great grandma to some amazing grandchildren. But she is such a woman of deep faith and powerful prayers. And every Sunday, she texts me a prayer. And they're so interesting, because Faye has no idea what I'm preaching on today. Faye has no idea the things that have been going through my head. She and I haven't talked in person in months. But here's her prayer this morning. Lord God, as I sit here in the cool of the morning, surrounded by all that you have created, I am blessed. Oh God, bless Andrea. And then listen to what she prays for. It's crazy uncanny. Bless Andrea with eyes to see what lies ahead, and eyes that see from your perspective. Eyes to see your hand in everything. Reminder, what she can't see, you can. And you're always working and in control. Help her have no worry, because she has you. Now, if I actually wrote a sermon on a piece of paper, I would think Faye got my sermon and read it, but I never put anything on paper. It's a lot of study, and it's all in here. Faye had nothing. She had no clue what I was going to talk about this morning, but that's exactly what I was going to preach. What if we all have eyes of God's perspective? And what if we try to look at the battles that we're in and the paths in front of us, not from our own perspective and abilities, but what if we recognize that that power that God gives us is within us, and we look at it from a perspective that can conquer any enemy? What if we realize that we can conquer all of our enemies? How would that make our lives different? Back to the cross-country story with Lane. As her mother, it was, my heart hurt for her to watch her be lapped by other runners in her last cross-country meet ever. And it had been a pretty crappy fall, because the car accident, I mean, it was tough for her to walk through that. It was frightening and painful. And so this sport that she had really been gifted at, her last time doing it, from the world's perspective, she could have been seen as a failure, being lapped by pretty much almost everybody. But that coach knew what he was doing. It's just the coolest story, and not because it's my daughter, but because someone saw something and used that to give them that nudge to go and be who it is that they're called to be. And Lane is called to be a positive force of energy in this world. That coach saw that. And so here's what he did. He told her, okay, when you get on that start line, when you go, the only thing I want you to focus on during this race is you cheer on your teammates. This is a really important race, and you are the one that can do that better than anybody else. You can cheer them on. So when the race starts, that's what you focus on. You run, but your job on that course today is to give positive affirmation and cheer on your teammates. So that's what Lane did. when she and I were talking about this story, she said, you know what? When the gun went off and the race started, I just started yelling, go, go, go. So as they all passed me, I just kept yelling, go, go, go. And she said, I kept yelling as they lapped me, go, keep running, good job. The really powerful thing about this story is that when Lane crossed the finish line, and this is what Lane remembers. Not that she went from being this really great runner to a not great runner, but that when she crossed that finish line, all her teammates were right there cheering her across the line. Those messengers from God, they are so real. That coach was that for Lane. She'll never forget that moment. And when she gets to dark places, she can go back to that moment and know that someone saw something in her. So much so that he made her go do something she felt really uncomfortable doing and knew that she would not succeed. But success for her in that moment was not what the world thought it should be. It was different. And that is the path that you and I are on. It may not be what the world deems as successful, but it doesn't mean it's not the path we're supposed to take. The power that is within us is far greater than any power that is in the world. It's up to us to claim it. And I hope you'll claim it with me today. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the story of Gideon. And thank you for allowing us to see that, you know, sometimes we just have to bend and bend and bend and keep on bending. But if we bend in you and with you, we don't ever break. God, reveal to us the things that are getting in the way of us being who it is that you are calling us to be. God, help us have the courage to face the paths in front of us, even though they're uncertain and we don't know which direction to take. Let us have trust and faith to rely on you. You are an amazing God, and we are called to stand in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we all have messengers in our lives, angels sent to us from God that give us the words that we need. And you know what? What changed for me was when I admitted that I needed some help and I asked people that I love and respect to pray with me and for the church. And once I did that, you know, answers really started being revealed to me. And like, I mean, Friday, I had the most amazing phone call, and it solidified things that I had been wrestling with and others had been saying about, like, what if we try this and what if, what could be? I was like, all right, God, I'm finally going to listen. It's interesting to pay attention to messages. I just want to share this with you because it's funny. And I don't preach from a manuscript, so like distractions really do play with my head. And the danger of having a cell phone on my stool or table right here is that it goes off. So like in the middle of the sermon, I hear it buzzing and I'm like, who is texting me right now? Probably no good news. Maybe the sermon bites or something. And so here was the text. It just made me laugh. Andrea, from double extra large to small in just 6 weeks, that can be you. Thank you to the stuff recommended by Shark Tank judges. Learn more by clicking on this link. I'm like, well, okay, I'm not going to say that is a message from God because it's some random spam text. So not all messages are from God, but there are a lot in our lives that are. And if we will discern what they are and listen, and then look with eyes from God's perspective, we can have the courage and the faith to go and do like Gideon did and fight any battle that is before us. So this week and in the weeks ahead, I invite you to claim that power and claim that perspective. And know that the power that is in us is far greater than any power of evil or darkness we are ever going to face in this world. Go in peace and have a great week.